Okay, today's daf is daf Pei Tet. We're holding on Pei Chet Amud Beit, about the middle. Rav Ashi comes now to tell us another teretz. We're interested. We had a kash on Rav. How is it possible to say, I mean, which we laughed about, it says in the Eretz Yisrael, that here her husband is standing in front of her, and we should say, it doesn't matter, she doesn't have to go out from this other guy, despite the fact she's married to her husband. You know, we tried all types of approaches yesterday that it's talking about where she's absolutely convinced, and we don't recognize the guy, and so on and so forth. Rav Ashi says the whole question was a mistake. When it says, my lotet say that she was nises originally with two eidim, lotet say to kama rav, doesn't mean lotet say mi hasheni, it means lotet say mi hatere harishon. It means that she is allowed to go back to her first husband, since she got married on the basis of two witnesses, so she didn't do anything wrong, and therefore we weren't koneser, and we didn't need to be machmer on her the way we did in the initial case where Bezdin was mater, and so why shouldn't she go back to her original heter? How can it mean that? Rav already said that once. I'm a Rav Chodazimna. The Tanan Nisek Shalob Rishot Muteret Lachzor Lo. That if, I mean, the Mishnah said beferish, that if she got married without Rishot's Bezdin, meaning she didn't need Rishot's Bezdin because she had Adin, then she can go back. And Rav Huna quoted Rav saying, that's the way we paskin, like this Mishnah. So why does Rav have to say it in this way as a separate statement? Says the Gemara, indeed he did not make a separate statement. It's Chodam Michal Bechaverta Yitma. Rav said what he said once, and it was used to say, okay, obviously if you pass it that way, pass it like the Mishnah. Or if you pass it like the Mishnah, then obviously this is what he's saying, that she's Muteres Lachzabron, she was Lo Yatzmi Atera Rishon. Omar Shmuel, Lo Shonu, when do we say in our Mishnah that in the case where she did get married up Pied Echad, and then the husband shows up now, that she has to leave now, her second husband, that's Ela Shalomika Hashtop. It's only where she does not deny the fact that this is her husband. When she says, I don't know who this guy is, then lo tetze. As we said before, the guy could have come back and we don't recognize him, but he has witnesses. Okay, so what witnesses? But my askinat. Let me betray. If we have two witnesses who say this is her husband, well, what's the difference if she says, no, he's not? She's not believed against these witnesses to claim that it's not her husband. Ella, it's talking about that there was only one witness. And yet you're saying that, okay, if there's one witness, if she says, you're wrong, it's not my husband. So, of course, one witness can't be mechayev her. But the mashma'ut is, when Shmuel says, dafke, if she denies it, and she says, no, you're absolutely wrong, so time it in mekachashto, hashatka, the mashma'ut is that if she couldn't say 100% otherwise, and she doesn't say anything, so then, she does have to go out from the second guy. But I thought, if the Torah believes that one witness, which is over here by this Isha, the single witness, we were Makabal as a witness in the Beis Din, and we paskin on the basis of that witness that she can go marry the second guy. The halacha is, says Ula, Harei Kan Shnayim, that this is the equivalent of two people, because he is a kosher edus. Kosher edus means what is normally two edim. The end of Arav Shalachad, in which case, when a second guy comes to deny it and say, no, here's her husband. This guy was wrong when he said that the husband died. We did completely ignore him. We can't accept the words of this single person against what is legally the testimony of two people, even though it's actually one person. So that now if the second witness will come along and claim that here he is, the husband is alive, so then we should forget about it. And why then does it force her that to accept what he's saying? And if she herself doesn't deny it, he's completely ignored by us. La halacha, he has no ne'amanut. Answers the Gemara, okay, so what we've got to be talking about, naturally then, is achmei eskina, b'psulei eidus. We've got to be talking about over here that indeed the two eidim came. However, the two eidim are eidim psulim. So these are, let's say, two women. And so you say, so what's the point of two women? Ah, Rabbi Nechemia. The Tanya Rabbi Nechemia, Shemina Torah Eid Echad, in a case where the Torah believes one person, such as over here by Eidus Isha, then if you have now an argument, a hakasha, between one Eid and another Eid, or a group of Eidim and another Eidim, even though normally we only have a definitive statement if something is Ne'eman or not Ne'eman in terms of the Torah over here, since we're not really looking at the quality of Eidut, which is an absolute, we go over here, halech achar rov deot. Follow, now, when you're talking about psulei eidus, follow the, basically, the majority. Who's got the majority opinion over here? And therefore, in this case, asu shtei nashim, these two women now, they're claiming that it is a husband, They are now being made keneged the one aid that had come, the Yish Echad, kishnei anashim Yish Echad. They are the equivalent now of two men who are now made against the one man. And therefore, it's two against one, and they would be believed. And this is, even though the psulei edus, and therefore, if she does not deny it, then they have the power of, given that all else is equal, she would have to be Yotzi Min HaSheni, even though we accepted the first one, because the first one counts as one, and these count as two. However, if she says, I know for a fact that it's not him, we don't really have a kosher edus that stands up against her, and therefore she can be Makrisha. Because even where we believe psulei edus, such as over here, we don't believe it against the person who is being affected and who says, I know for a fact this is not true. So therefore, we would not believe her. So if, however, she has nothing to say, then we've got basically a case of psulei edus, indeed, but edus that would be mechayavas, because we go according to Rov Deot. Or, you know what, it could be by tema kol echad yataydechad kosher mikar, if indeed the first guy had been kosher. Then indeed, Rabbi Nechemya never would have said that one man is the equivalent of only one woman. Actually, then it would be a fil me'anashim. Even if it would be 100 psiliatis that would come to it to be makrish, that would be the equivalent of an eid echad against them. So, keid echad damian. And we don't go, according to Rov Deos of Eidus Psulim, against a single aid that is accepted as kosher. And so once the Beis Din had accepted the testimony of that first aid, then it's as if it's an absolute edut, and therefore it doesn't help afterwards, so then she would not be yotzeit even if she doesn't deny it. What we're talking about over here in the Diyuk of Shmuel, where he said that, well, if she didn't deny it, she would have to be yotzeit. That's talking about a case where the original person who was me'id is an eid echad, but it's an isha. Zochem ha'iskin go to atya isha mi'ikara, to be matir, and Beis Din was matir based on the edus of the isha. After all, it did say in the Mishnah, it doesn't matter whether it's eid mi'pi'eid or eid mi'pi'isha, isha mi'pi'ishivcha, and so on. So therefore, she got married. Now come along, after she's married, two women with this guy, and these two women claim this is her husband. Therefore, if she would not be Makrishan, then she would indeed have to accept her testimony, because we go according to Rov Deot, as Rebbe Nechemya said, and what we should really understand Rebbe Nechemya's having said. Because Rebbe Nechemya didn't personally say that last piece that we had the originally. When we quoted Rebbe Nechemya, all Rebbe Nechemya said was, "Koma kom shemina Torah." Echad alech achre Rav Deos. We added also shtei nashim bishachad, kishnei nashim bishachad, as if that was necessarily what Rebbe Nechemya's opinion would imply. But actually, the way to understand Rebbe Nechemya's opinion is as this: Asu shtei nashim biishachad. If you have two women that are namakrishot now, to a single woman who had been accepted by the Beis Din, that's the equivalent of a case in which you would have two men, can they get a man, and there it would be, indeed, she would have a right to be makrisha, but she would have to accept. If she weren't, avoshtein hashim be'ish echad, indeed, the way we had it originally, we have two women, who now would come to be makrisha, kosher aid who was accepted there, he never would have said that we go according to the rov, he would have said that has a din of palga palga, that's like a single witness being makrisha, a single witness, and therefore, even if she herself hadn't necessarily been makrisha, once she was married to Heter, and then we would have followed Ula's Maimer. The first one is Belief Kishnaim, and that's it. The rest is like another Eid Echad. Because in this case, the first Eid, after all, is Neman completely. So in a normal case, we would have had it looked at as Palgo Palga. It's like one Eid against another Eid. In this case, if she even is not Makishan, she's just Shatka. We follow, that's what Ula said, once the first one is Neman Kishnaim, then all the rest are still called the Ke'ed Echad, named Vorav Shel Echad, B'makom Shnayim, which is basically how we would consider this case, unless, of course, she herself acquiesces. Continues the mission to Chaget Mizeh. Now, this is very strange, because why in the world would she need a get from the second husband, who is not a husband at all? And as a matter of fact, we want to make it very clear that he's not a husband. So why would we say she needs a get? So if I get get obviously. Midiraisa, she's really married to the first guy. Ava Misheni, Amai, why would she need a get from the second one? It's just a regular case of a woman who was mezanas. You say, she didn't know that. But the point is, she's not married to him. There's obviously no tefisas kedushin on an Ashes Ish. So Amai Znut be Amahavi, this is plain old fashioned Znus. Omer Avuna, because other people who see the event may not understand it.
And they may think that when the whole court case came up and witnesses came, and what the issue was that he had said the get. And they were dying, whether the get is a kosher get, and so on. So she went ahead and got married, so they said, oh, looks like this guy sent the get to his wife. Now, when he comes back and she goes and marries him, so then they're going to come to the conclusion that if a guy changes his mind and he decides to take back his wife, so she doesn't need a get. Which is ridiculous, of course. So Nifzazacious, he shall sabalo get, and people will be shocked. What's going on over here? But if that's the case, at the end of the Mishnah, it talks about Yalki Seifa up ahead. Diktani Amrula made Balek Nitkacha. Suppose she never actually went under the chuppah with this guy. She never had relationships with the second guy. They told her, your husband's dead, and she went and accepted Kiddush. Thank God, before she actually went and got married to him, the husband shows up. So now the whole thing obviously is a mistake, and she goes back home, and everything is fine. So but the question is, if you're telling me that people come to the wrong conclusion, I mean, people knew that she accepted the Kiddush, they set a date for the marriage, and so on for the chuppah, I mean, so they're going to think that she got a get from the first guy, that's what you said. So then where's the get from the second guy? Well, obviously, once a woman accepts Kiddush, she can't go back to the guy unless she takes a get. So why over here don't we force him to give her a get? No, she needs a get. Who says she doesn't need a get? Where does it say she doesn't need a get? So she's allowed to marry the first guy. Maybe in Achinami she needs a get. So says the Gemara, Le'olam Ba'i get. Oh, no, says the Gemara, you can't say that. Because if she needs a get, min Rabbonan, so then this guy is a Marzeh Grushato Mishinit Arsah. That means that the first husband is now, even though it isn't true, but in Big B'chayev and Mirabonin a get, so then it's the equivalent of taking a wife back after she already married somebody else. It's true she never slept with him, but she accepted Kiddushin from him. That's okay. Maybe it's going like Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur. Rabbi Yosef ben Kippur, we saw earlier, holds that mina nisuin asura, ben mina erisin muteret. So that Enoch Inami, if a woman is nitgar sha from another guy, only from erisin, she's allowed to go back to her first husband. So what's the problem? He has to give her a get, exactly as we said in the ratio of the mission, because we're afraid people will say, all right, so why does he have a right now, the first husband, to take her back? In the second case in the mission, we haven't gotten to yet, but in the case that we just read, where she was only nitkachan, because the halacha is, as long as she didn't sleep with anyone else, she can go back. She says, no, that doesn't make sense. It's impossible to say that the Mishnah is telling us that she requires a get, even if it's been a rabbon, in the case we're only nitkachan. Why? Because the Sefer continues that if the guy would give her a get, the second one, it's a joke. That's not a get. And she's not psula from the kuhuna. The halacha is that any place where a get even smells a little bit like a get, we call that recha, it has the smell of a get, then she's psula for kuhuna. If the rabbanu were mechayev the second one to give a get, even though it's only a takana because of maybe people will say, hey, she sees she hurts a below get, she certainly wouldn't be allowed to marry a kohen. So the mission in the end is making it absolutely clear. She doesn't need a get. The guy gives a get. It's a joke. He doesn't know what he's doing. Nobody's going to take it seriously. She go marry a kohen. So then we have a contradiction between that case that is clearly saying there was no mandated get and the first case that says she needs a get mizer or mizer. Go explain the difference. If it's because of the gezerah, go explain the difference. Do you boy get? Am I a little puzzled in a kuna? If she would have needed a get, she would have been psula because of recha the get. Ella Seifa, I'll tell you why. The Seifa, people will think, look, you know, it's very shayich, it's kedusha tos. It happens. A guy makes a t'nai this is how Rashi writes. A guy makes a t'nai in the kedusha. She makes a t'nai in the kedusha. She says, you know, I don't really believe you could support me. You claim you got a lot of money coming in. I'm the mekabel kedusha, I'm an us. That you open up a bank account for me, you put in $100,000 on the Kiddush itself. Okay? When they see her walking away and going back to the first guy, they figure, I guess he never delivered. So therefore, there's no problem. People immediately, nobody's going to come to the conclusion you don't need a get. They know it happens, these kind of things go on. So then, I understand. So then, Mamonoshach, if they know these things go on, so then the same thing could be an arm issue. Tell them, we're making Xera, people will say, why won't people say that it was Kiddush Tos? Tosis, S. Arashi, that's crazy. The Sefer is talking about a case where there was only Kedushin. Kedushin Tos, there is, but how could we say that this is the problem over here? Nisuin Betos, we don't say. In the way Rashi learns it, Nisuin Betos, we made a condition. Because we say once a woman goes through and actually sleeps with a guy, so then it's over, then she's accepted. Whatever the situation is, you know, Zolzayin. Otherwise, why would she sleep with him? So therefore, Says Tosis, that can't be the pshat. The pshat in Kedushin Tos is the situation shows it's a Tos. People will say, wow, look at this, the husband showed up. It's a good thing he showed up. No, they immediately come to the conclusion that it's clear what happened over here. She thought she wasn't married, and she was married. Why would they come to a crazy conclusion that she could be Yotzi without a get? Says the Gemara. But if that's the case, then that could be also in the ratio, no? Says the Gemara, okay, look, the ratio in a tsunami. People could say that. Let's say 90% of people would say it, okay? 10% of people won't say it. So you'll say, no. But in the ratio, we give her a knas. Wasn't that the whole pshat in the Mishnah? But I understand, if it's a knas, then in the safe, you should have the same knas, no? No. Look, it's true that you need a mechanism for the knas. In other words, what the Gemara is bothered by now is, you gave me this whole explanation yesterday, it was there in the Mishnah. Obviously, the Rabbanan, in order to attain a result, need a mechanism, always. It's not shy to just out of the blue say, well, you know what, just to screw up her life, let's make her get a get from the second. We won't say that, absolutely not. We're trying to create a situation in which she's very uncomfortable, that's true, and she's got everything to lose, that's true, but what's the basis of the situation? So in the ratio, there is a basis, same basis that's in the Sefer, which is the 10% of people who will say, look, a woman is Yetzer without a get. You know what? For those 10% of people, we're going to make a takana, she needs a get. They say, so make a takana in the Sefer. Why should I? Most people won't be chayshish. So therefore, I'm not bechuyev to make a knas just because of those 10%. I'll make it easier for her. But where I'm not interested in making it easier for her, I still have that mechanism to allow me the knas because of the 10%. Right? Again, this is a little bit of a subtle point. And people, the Rabbanan can never do anything without a mechanism. So the knas provides us a mechanism, but it's not an absolute thing that I have to apply this. It's not that I have a real chashash. Normally I would have accepted the fact that most people are not going to worry about such a thing. So in the Sefer, well, she didn't do anything wrong. All she did was accept Kiddushin. She, maybe Eina Chinami, if would have come to the Chuppah, she would have already gotten results of all of her investigations, and she never would have gone under the Chuppah. So what did the woman do wrong? She's doing what any other person would do. So if that's the case, why should we give her a knas? We weren't chayshish over there for the small percentage of people who may think, oh, they're idiots. Instead of realizing what happens, it's clear what happens. Because they want to think an ish is yotz without a get, but it's time I'm right.
Actually, I guess it's even
look around. Look around and see whether people know if a woman gets a get. Yeah.
People know that.
Yes. Although we'll see. In this case, Chai should not. Ela ksuba. Okay. Why does she not have a ksuba? Because why does she have a ksuba? Why does a woman in general have a ksuba? My time is a kinnel rabbana ksuba. The only reason we're giving her a ksuba is because we want to ensure that a marriage to the guy is not basically free love. I'm in a mood. Tomorrow I'm not in a mood, I'll send you home. That's called a marriage. What, because you have to give her a piece of paper? It says, Rav Materis HaKolodah. I mean, that's like the Arabs send an SMS, you know? Okay, it's over. Literally. That's their get. They could send a psak, they could send a get with an SMS. It's unbelievable. So that's called a marriage. I mean, it's basically sanctioned prostitution. That's all. So you're saying you send an SMS to a woman, okay, we're married. Then you go back home, you say, okay, we're not married. So therefore, the Rabbona made a takana. What are you talking about? This is a serious situation which, if you want to get out of, it's going to cost you, but good, it's going to change your whole life. It's not the. So then the relationship becomes a deeper relationship. Do we want to ensure that in this case? We're trying to make sure that they don't have a relationship. But why would we be talking to get over here to hey, Kalabeda Vlotsia Adarabba? Make it as easy as possible. If we could allow him to get rid of her with an SMS, we would do that too. Okay, obviously, she needs to get me to Raisa. Now, Tosis points out, this is a rather strange Gemara. Because, if you take a look at the Ksuba, the way the Ashkenazim have the Ksuba, of course, is based on this Gatayis, it's about Chlokas. The Sfarim don't have this. But what we write in our Ksuba is Kesev Matan, the Chazil Achimi, the Oraita. So, in other words, we're saying that the Din of Ksuba is the Halacha of Mohar HaPesulis, in which there's a deraisa that there's that. At least that element of the ksuva is there. So how are we saying that the Rabbanan took away her ksuva? So Tosfos says, we find in other places that the Gemara will use a svara that, although it doesn't apply here, comes from somewhere else. So, l'mashal, if we have an almana, so an almana, the ksuva would only be min rabbanan, not everybody agrees. But the rabbanan were mitaken, there's no moa habitula, the rabbanan were mitaken, okay, 100 shekel. That should be the value of a ksuva and almana. So there is such a thing as a takona of a ksuva in the case of almana. Once I know that that's true, I can bring that in now as the logic that the rabbanan would use to take her ksuva away from her. And we'll see later on, we don't have a problem in Dine Mominus, the element of taking the ksuva away from her. We know that the best and after. There are other elements that are problematic and that the Gemara is going to deal with. And as a matter of fact, the rest now of our worries here about the Mishnah are indeed this question. How did the Rabbanan play games on this level of like telling us things that seem to be deraisas, and they're telling us, nah, don't worry about the deraisas. Can the Rabbanan actually be oikar the situation deraisa? That's the next issue that we're going to discuss. But in terms of the ksuva, it doesn't literally mean this. Tosfos brings an example by Heter Nedarim. We find the same thing. There are cases where the Heter Nedarim, the Hafaras Nedarim of husband is only the Rabbanan, because the Gemara says a woman that accepts kiddushin, she makes a neder al das baal. So therefore, the Baal says, no, there was a condition. We apply that same svara in a strange way, even where Midirai said there is afara. It's like the Nedarim that the woman gave over, that the Torah gave over to her husband. Okay, so here too. And the next piece of Ein La Peirot, Velo Mizanot, Velo Belaot. So you'll say, how come she doesn't get that? I mean, what do you mean the Peirot, the guy? It turns out that she was never married to him. So it turns out, therefore, that he's been eating basically her money. She's got a field, he's been taking the produce the whole time. At least let her sue him and get the money back. So why doesn't she have payrolls? Because tonight k'suvik k'suvit on me. All of these things are basically part of k'suvah. So we have mizonotaychi, kisutaychi, and then all the things we don't even bother mentioning, which includes the rights to znitzibaluk. So over here, since she doesn't have k'suvah, the rabbanon also have a right to remove the chiyuvim of the money. And they made the whole thing batel u'mevutel. Same. They did the same thing with the first guy.
No, the third guy came back.
No ksuva from him either because of a kenas. Kenas. A woman who's mezana doesn't get a ksuva. Okay, so not lamizomize says if she took the ksuva, she has to give it back. I mean, is that a chiddush? You take money that doesn't belong to you, you have to give it back? Of course you have to give it back. Says the Gemara, no. Ma'adat teimik kivne tafsalam avkina mina. It's not that she has to give it back, it's that we will force her to give it back. I would have thought, okay, the Rabbanan is saying, look, you know, you don't have a right to ksuba. Once she's typhus the ksuba, she says, okay, I'm not coming to you to enforce my right to ksuba. So, goodbye. They say, no, excuse me, come back here. Well, what's the problem? We're taking away your money is the problem. That's the problem. We're mafkinamina. So that he can sue her back for the money, even though the mice, it's her money. That's already a chiddush. It's not pshita at all. Kamash balan. That even though she was tayfes, that's the whole point over here, what she collected, and she thought that it was, she had rights to ksuva. From both of them. I mean, maybe she, when this guy disappeared, she got witnesses that he died, she took her ksuva. So in those cases, I would have thought, lo mafkina mina kamash min bezdin removes it. Okay. So then we said the Vlad is a mamzer. Now, wait. The Vlad is a mamzer from the first guy? The Vlad is a mamzer? Oh, no. Very nice. I mean, you want to call him a mamzer, it's one thing. If you're paskening as a mamzer, you're telling him, go marry a mamzer. So you're saying, well, a mamzer, straight out. The Rabbonin could create a state that changes the uraisa of taking a perfectly kosher person and saying, no, you're mutter in a mamzer because we decided you're a mamzer. What kind of business is that? So to introduce the sugya, which is over here the question of whether the Rabbonin have a right to define states that are eiker halakha in the uraisa, we first begin with things that seem to be unrelated. Equivalent cases from, oh, of all interesting things, truma, weird. Oh, that after with your bones. So, cases in truma, with a din of truma, is also built in what appear to be violations of the deraisa. We first look at that and come from that to our Mishnah back around to the back door to see how to understand how the Vlad could be a mamzer, which is Akira's Dabra Menatera. So it's not awesome. Let's start first with the sugya that we have from the Mishnah and Trumas. Ein tamin min hatameh la tahor. So you're not allowed to take truma from something which is tameh on something which is Torah. Why is this true? So here's a little bit of machlokas. The Rivan says that it's based on the fact that it says titein lo. Titein lo, that the truma should be given to him. We darshan lo velo la'oro. It has to be his. It means he can do what he wants. He wants to eat it. But if you're only giving it as it's tameh, so what's he going to do with it? He's not allowed to eat it. So you're not really giving it to him. You're giving it basically for one particular use, that you can burn it. So he can be nener from it as he burns it. Tosis brings raya that's not the shot. And that tameh v'torah, you'll see why there's a problem as the sugi goes on, but that the question of tameh v'torah relates to the shayla chelbo. Chalbo means the finest part, as we say in English. La creme de la creme is chalbo, basically. The caleb of it, the fats of it. And this limited usage is not, therefore, a good enough desina. So therefore, im taram b'shogeg, if he does this b'shogeg, the truma is truma. If he does it b'mezid, the truma lo asav lo klum. Now, before we can continue to discuss what it means lo asav lo klum, we have to know what the words mean. What's the meaning of lo asav lo klum? There's two possibilities. Lo asav lo klum means it was never chal, there was no truma, and basically he's left with teva. Or lo asav lo klum could mean he didn't potter it, but of course since with your eyes it's truma, so the truma is chal, but we're b'chayiv to go ahead and take off truma again. What does it mean? So it's a machlokes. Omra kisa lo asav lo klum kolika. It's as if he did absolutely nothing. Afilo agigi ruvi aradatibla. Even that one bushel that he took off of truma, it now is no longer truma, it's tevel, and there's no problem. Now he starts over again, and he takes off truma once again. This time he does it right. Rav Dassin Rav Oshia, how could that be? It's laws of lo klum, l'taken et ashirai. It means it's not a good enough truma, he has to take off truma again. But how can it mean it's not truma? Truma, the thing itself is obviously truma. Now, Rav Chista says, but that doesn't work. Because if you're going to tell him that it is truma, why would he go back and take it off again? I mean, he said, okay, look, these rabbis, you know, nothing's ever good enough for them. It's truma, good enough for me. So if you're going to tell him, yavet avi truma, says, yin and the parsha v'lo mafrish. I mean, look, lots of people, they say, all right, look, but yavet, it's truma, no. So I didn't do it the best, next time I'll do better. So he's not going to be mafrish it again. I don't understand. That certainly is not a klal. I mean, ma'ishna me'od, it's not. We have over here, ha'torem kishut v'nimtzeg mara, avatiach v'nimtzeg sarua. A guy goes ahead, and he is mafrish now cabbages or melons or whatever, which look nice on the surface. You open it up, and it's barely edible. Sickening. It smells. So that's definitely min ra'ah ala yafeh. He took something, I mean, he didn't mean to, but he took something which was ra'ah. So then, the halacha is truma. Here it says beferish. Truma ve'achzor v'yitron. What's your taina? You can't say something is truma, and that the guy should go back and take it off again. The Mishnah says beferish, that we have such cases. So what's nafka mina? Min ha'tomei ala Torah, min ha'saruach al hayafeh. It's the same halacha. You're telling me that be'etzem, the truma is chal, but you have to go ahead and take it again. So you got a problem with the Mishnah or Chista? Is that your problem? Says the Gemara, what are you asking Rav Chista from the Mishnah? The Mishnah is a case of shogeg. It looked like a good melon. Now we go ahead and we open it, and now it's not a good melon. Okay, so over there says the Gemara, what, you're shogeg amezit karamis, what you're asking your kasha from the Mishnah of shogeg. Shogeg lo avad isura. Look, the guy who did it, b'shogeg, he didn't intend to do anything wrong. We have no reason to suspect that a person like that, if we tell him, listen, Rabbi, you have to go back and take it off. Why wouldn't he accept Allah? But if he did it b'mezid, so then he's already not such a fine Rabbi. So if we tell him, go back and it's good truma, but go back and do it again. Sure, thank you, boys. Well, why would he take it off again? Over here, obviously, as Tosis points out, it can't mean what it usually means. That I'm sure the difference is that on shogeg will let it be truma, because then, I mean, that basically ends up being worse. Right? We're treating the guy shogeg worse than we're treating the guy mazid. If the guy mazid, we would tell him, well, because you're amazed, not only is this truma, you got to think of truma again. That would be the way we would look at it. It's telling me the other way around. Obviously, the only way to understand it is that the amazed, if we tell him that the first one is truma, he won't take it off again. Mashenike, the person does something for shoge, with no reason to suspect that he won't keep the halacha. We'll tell him the halacha. That's what Rav Chisda says. So bring me a kashman, a mishnah. The mishnah he did, he thought he was giving him a beautiful watermelon and ends up being a piece of garbage. Happens all the time. It's not his fault. So therefore, there's no problem. He'll tell him to take it off again. Mashenike, over here, Mazid Kavi Isura. Okay, says the Gemara. Very good. You don't like this case? I'll bring you a case where both cases now are shoge. And there seems to be a contradiction that we have not explained. Romi shoge gashoge. Over here it says, Beferi, here, we say that it's a intor ambishoge, was the first part of our mission, the initial mission. Intor mimen atamela tohor, the intor ambishoge. Trumato, truma, trumato, truma. That's all it says. It doesn't say v'yachzor v'yitrom. It says trumato, truma. You just brought me the case over here where it says v'yachzor katani, truma, but v'yachzor v'yitrom. Make up your mind. Is it that v'yavad is a kosher truma and I don't have to worry about it anymore? Or is it that v'yavad, the first one is kosher but I have to go and do it again? Which way is it? I'll tell you. There's a big nafka mina. Hatam shogei karov l'mezi. I mean, one case where the guy basically could have discovered whether he's got a good watermelon. You know, you want to see whether these are good melons. Take one, slice it, take off truma from the thing itself, and then you'll be able to. But you didn't do that. You didn't test it out. You said, it looks good. Good enough for the coin, you know. If it turns out not to be good, I did my best. And that's not a very nice thing to do. So there, okay, it's truma, the odds of your truma. So you have grounds over there to believe you're doing the right thing, but basically you know that there's an element of responsibility. So you'll be a mensch about it if it turns out to be Saruach and the Rabbanah tell you to go ahead, yeah. Yahzav Yitron. But in a case where the Bechlal over there was totally shogeg, the guy had absolutely no way to know, it's not nicker in the thing, that it's Tameh, so then Einachinami. Why should he be Chosav in such a case? We would not expect him to be Chosav. He didn't do anything wrong. Okay, then let me ask you about the steers in the case of Amazit. The Rami Mazit Amazit. We said it here, the original mission said, the Mazit lo asa velo klum, right? Okay, and yet we have another Mishnah in which the Mishnah says, the Mishnah in Demai says, Hatzorei mish'eino nakuv ala nakuv, truma v'yachzor v'yitron. A guy has now regular truma, which is growing, a chiyav of regular truma, which is growing in a pot that has a hole in it, which is considered to be a mechuba l'karka. And he's got the same thing, but a disc is growing in a pot which is not mechuba l'karka. Now the halach is one of them is chayav min iraisa, one is chayav min rabbanan. Obviously you can't be terim min aptur ala chiyav, or min chiyav ala aptur, you have to be from the same level. So if the guy now takes from a pot, which is eino nakuv, therefore only chayav min rabbanan, and he tries to pot or chiyav tevo min iraisa with a truma rabbanan, it's not going to be good enough. In that case, what do we say? Truma v'yachzor v'yitron. But, it says over here it is truma, but he has to go back and take truma, okay? Now, I'd like you to explain this to me, Rav Chisda. You said that that's not a possibility. You said the guy will never do a thing like that because the guy won't listen to you. Once, if he does something amazing, once you tell him that the din is that it's good truma, he's not going to listen to you if you tell him to go ahead and take other truma. So why over here will he listen to you? No, I'll tell you, says Rav Chisda. It's not so simple. People will listen to you if what you say makes sense. But if what you say is crazy, they're not going to listen to you. So in a case, the first case over here, what do you say? The guy's thinking to himself, look, what's the halacha over here? It is truma. Fine. If it is truma, but the Rabbana want me to give a better truma. I don't want to give a better truma. I'm happy with a lousy truma. But over here, where the Rabbana is saying, listen, you don't see the nafkamina between a pot that's b'churba to the ground and something that's not b'churba to the ground. I see the nafkamina, the guy says. Fine. So take off kosher truma. But you said it's truma. I said it's truma because the Rabbana you're high of truma on the pot without the hole also. But you're telling me it's irrational. I'm telling you something that makes a great deal of sense. You weren't. You ate your truma to your raisa. This is one type of pot, this is another pot. You're not an idiot, you see the difference. But the Rabbanan were Mechayev Truma for one, so it's a kosher Truma. People are not Stam mules, that you can't tell them this is a Chiyav. So over there, he's going to listen to you. Betray Mani Tzayit. If you got over there two separate pots, and you tell him, look, what you did from one part didn't help for this part, that makes sense to him.
Is that the other way around?
We'll get to the other way around. Mashenka, you have something which grows in the same pot, so to speak, or in the same ground, and you're telling him it's kosher, but we want you to do it again. His immediate response is, no, you don't care, it's not out of your pocket. It's basically, you're telling me it's kosher, it's good enough for me. Fine. So now, Reb Nosson and Rabbi Oshaya, and here is where we've got our problem. Let me ask you something. Reb Nosson and Rabbi Oshaya says it's not even truma. Litakein shirayim, you're saying. But the Rabbanan made this truma, correct? Avo truma, it's truma, it's tame, the Kohen uses it to burn, puts it into his lamp, and he burns it. Explain to me why this is different. My shnami had it's not. Min hanakuv al she'enu nakuv trumato truma. That part is fine. That's what you said. Somebody takes the wrong kind of truma, it's truma b'diavad. But look at the continuation. The Mishnah continues. V'lo te'achel ha'chiyotzi la truma ha'masim imakom acher. We warn the Kohen. We say, hold on. It's a dinner truma, but you're not allowed to eat this truma, obviously, because, I mean, he's got to take off truma. That's kosher truma. It's not kosher truma. It's only min rabbanan, but it's not kosher truma. So how come here we say, it's okay, it's truma, but you still have to go ahead and be metaken the shirayim? Why don't we say, it's okay, it's truma, but make sure you're metaken the shirayim before the Kohen is allowed to use it? So why aren't we mocked it over here? So we should have said, the Mishnah should have said exactly the same thing, if it meant what you're saying, that this thing itself is truma, and we give it to the Kohen, so then you should say, but excuse me, you can't use it yet. It requires tikkun. No, it's different. It's different because Shani Och, the case of the Tomei Tahor, is not a limitation, Midiraisa. It's only that the Rabbanan didn't want you to take Minat Tomei Ala Tahor, or maybe Lechatchila, or Lonidal Chalbo, Lechatchila, you shouldn't do it. But if you did it, the Torah didn't say it's Ma'akib, it gave you a mitzvah to take from the nicest, you didn't. But the Truma is Truma. So over there, where Midiraisa, it's kosher Truma, okay, so what we're going to tell them, it's Truma, but don't use it. It's Truma, if we're telling you it's Truma, so you can burn it. That's the halacha. We want you to be yotzi b'makom acher. That's in order for the guy to be yotzi eskiyah, but it's not the Kohen's problem. Kohen got perfectly kosher truma, so he can use it. Masha'im came over there, it's not kosher truma, midiraisa. So shiny off in the midiraisa truma ma'ayati. Rebbe Loi brings a raya that it's truma ma'ayata. And that even though the Torah says l'chatchila, that if you take off lousy truma, that's not the best mitzvah, that doesn't mean that b'diavad it's not truma, because Rabbi Eloi is medayik from the pasuk. He says, look, minayim atorim min ara'ala yafa, shetruma to truma. How do I know, midiraisa, that it's definitely considered to be truma if you took off something poor? Because the Torah says, v'lo tisu alav chet baharim cham et chelbo mimen. You will not have sinned if you take off the very best for truma. So what does that imply? That if you didn't, then you will have sinned. So what do you mean I will have sinned? It's not truma. How can I sin? Where's the sin? Well, there's a sin in the attempt. I wanted to. The Torah doesn't give me sins in attempts. So therefore it says, Rabbi Loisa, how do you understand that pasuk? Im ein kadosh nesiut chet lama. What did I do wrong? I wanted to take off not the truma. Fine, sir. I'm sorry, that's not truma. Try again. Okay, so try again and did it right. So where's the chet? I didn't do anything wrong. So it must be that it's kosher truma. So the Torah is telling me, don't give truma. That's not good truma. And if you do, you gave the truma. It's just not good truma. That's why it's a chet. So you see that midiraisa, obviously it's kosher. It's a kosher truma. It's 100% good. So chet lama mikan l'torim min ara ala yafash truma to truma. Obviously it's kosher truma, and therefore why should I limit the kohen? But she'en ken if I'm taking out from adati chain and nokov, which is part of midiraisa. So what am I going to do? I'm going to give it to the Kohen. The Kohen's automatically going to assume it's one of those kind of cases in which it's okay for me to use it. And this guy has the problem that he has to take on. No, we have to tell him, says the Mishnah. But this is not my problem only. This is your problem. Because it's only yours because the Rabbanan said that b'shein anokov you get to keep, but it's not yours because it's not teva. Still teva, midiraisa. Omele rabbel or chista. Let me understand how this works out. The didakta amrit lo asah v'lo klum kol ikar. And here is now, for the first moment, we begin to trample upon the area that's Mageya Arnish. So far we've had a discussion, it seems to be completely unrelated. But now I have a question to you, says Rabbi. You're telling me that a guy takes off Truma, and the Rabbanan said, nope, it's not Truma. Understand? We just proved that he writes it is Truma. So what do you mean the Rabbanan said it's not Truma? But you have a concern if we tell him that it's Truma. He's not going to go and take off other... Well, thank you for your concern. It's very touching. But how can the Rabbanan take off the din of Truma from something that is Truma? And what, be Matir and Isur D'oraisa to Azar? That doesn't make any sense. So you're telling me that it's utter Lativli. Why? Dilma Pashav lo Mafrish. Because if you're touching concern, then he's not going to be Mafrish if you let it be Truma. Understand? Mishum Dilma Pashav Kua Rabbanan L'chulin. Understand? How can Rabbanan come and take off the din of Truma from it? Oh, Malay, says Rav Chisda, what, all of a sudden, now you're discovering a miracle. It's the first time you see that the Rabbanan do all these kinds of sects. They do this all the time. What about that old Mishnah in Yevamos? Remember that one? Where it says the Vlad is a Mamzer. How do the Rabbanan say that the Vlad is a Mamzer? A Vlad Mamzer is a Mamzer. Understand me, Shani, of course, was the second guy to whom she was ever married. She was an Asia Sikh to the first man, so of course the Vlad is a Mamzer. But Mirisha, what do you mean? Ishtohi. Let me ask you something. Midiraisa, she's married to him. And he's a Yisrael Mahal. He has a perfectly kosher Jew who's Otzer in any Psule Kal and so on. And you're telling him, oh, he's a Mamzer, so now he knows he can marry all the Yisurim that Midiraisa is going to be over on the lab every time he sleeps with his woman, but that's okay, you say. So obviously, the Rabbanan are Koveya states that are not what the Torah was Koveya. Risharim Lebe Mamzeres. Omar Lei. So he says, Rabbi says, Rav Chisda, you misunderstand the Mishnah. What do you think? Vlad Mamzer means he's Mutter and a Mamzer. Vlad is a Mamzer, that it's the Chumra he's a Mamzer, that he's not Mutter to a Kshera. That's the Pshat. But of course he's not Mutter to a Mamzer. Sacher HaMashmur, Asur b'Mamzeret. Obviously they're not mottering him in a Mamzeret. V'chein Kiyasa Rav and Amr B'Yochanan. Asur b'mamzeres? We don't mean to say he's a mamzer, that he can marry a mamzeres. So what do we mean? Am I calling him a mamzer? Lo osrov about Yisrael? All we're saying is that we're machmer on him, nebach, that this guy's really in the tzoras. You have to find a diorat. But he certainly can't marry a mamzeret. Sorry? That's true. He is. And that's going to make sure, the woman's going to make very sure she don't want her kids to be in that mamzer. Sholech le Rav Chisda lo Rabba b'yad Rav Acha bar Avunah. Rav Chisda, okay, he was stuck at this point. And what usually happens is when somebody goes out, then you remember what the answer is. So, okay, but there was no telephone, so he couldn't get him on the cell phone. So he sends a letter to him. He says, run after him. He says to Rav Acha bar Avunah, and tell him, well, what do you mean? The ain't best in Masin Lakhar Dharman Atayra. What are you asking on me? Of course, business is masculine. V'atanya. Me'imatay adam yoreshet ishto ktana. Finish your price. At what point would a man be able to be yoresh a woman who is married to him now only mid-rabbana? Be'chamayom reim mishitamod b'komata. When she becomes, Rashi learns tamod b'komata means she becomes a gedola. So b'komata is basically b'pirka. Pirka means not only is she old enough, but she also is pubescent. So she's really a gedola. Tosu says that we always use the word mishatagdil, if that's the case. What would we say mishat? Who ever heard the word mishatamod bekomata? Therefore, says Tosu, it doesn't seem to mean that. It seems to be saying that she looks like a gedola, not that she's really a gedola. Okay, well, let's take Rashi's approach over here. Makes it a little easier. So Beishamai says when she's a gedola, he's yorisha. Beit Hillel omrim. No, at whatever point she goes into the chuppah. We'll see what that means. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Mishiti Ba'el, and it's talking about after now, Mashma again, she's still a Ketana, but she was Nivelis to him. V'yorsha, he's Yorisher, he's Metameter if he's a Kohen. V'yorchelet Begino Truma. And in all these cases, they all go together. Once he's Yorisher, he's Metamic for her, and she is allowed to eat truma. Now, these are deorises. I mean, these are going to be metamic, where she's eating truma, and then we're talking about deorises. So now let's take a look, first of all, what were the shittas? Beit Shammayim rin b'shittamot b'komatam. How exactly was she married? What is he saying? I mean, the halacha is that even a woman who is a real gedola, who only accepts erisin, he's not metamic la b'korin, and he's not yorsha. So what's the pshat over here? I mean, she's not ocheles. So it can't mean lo nechles al chuppah. No, I mean mishitamo b'komatam v'tikanes l'chuppah. I'm saying, but she needs to be first the gedola. V'achi kamar le Beit Shammai le Beit Hillel. Beit Shammai is basically not just saying this in a vacuum. It's his response to Beit Hillel. The kamritu, you said mishitikanes l'chuppah. That's what you said. Whenever she goes into the chuppah, So I say, no, that's not true. It's only if Tamod Bekomata and went into the Chuppah. Then you'd be right. Okay, Rabbi Eliezer says, Mishati Ba'el. What do you mean? She's a Ketana. What's the point? You're telling me she has a new Kinyan on a Mishati Ba'el. Om Rabbi Eliezer ain't Ma'asek Ketana Klun. No, I mean Mishatagdil V'Tiba'el. I mean after she grows up. Yes, Ketosis, what good is that? Lamaisa. How is the chuppah going to help? I mean, the only chuppah that they had was while she was a ketana, and the chuppah of a ketana doesn't help. Says Tosef, because the point over here is that once a woman is nivelas in the guy's house, that is a chuppah. Because that's nivelas al rishusai, the nivelas. The nivelas al rishusai. It's basically they're carrying over the threshold of those the guy do. That's kenisa al chuppah. So in this case, that's the ultimate carrying over the threshold. So if it's l'shem nisuin, so then it gets good of a nisun diraisa. So there would be the case at that point on is yorish, katame, and achilas true. Okay. Now, what's important to me in this question to you, says Rav Chisda, after he sent the message to Rava, does it or does it not say yorsha? Okay? And how exactly did the Rabbana steal money away from her father? Midiraisa, she's not even married. Obviously, there's no father, technically speaking. But, I mean, there might even be if you say Mibchaya, but the members are taking it away from the family of the father. And they are saying that in Nisue Ketana, Dirabonan, what was the reason that Dirabonan were Metake Nisue Ketana? Because they feel that it's important for someone to be around to protect her, and a woman who's married, even though she isn't really married, Midiraisa, but nonetheless, Dirabonan sanctioned this what Midiraisa is a casual relationship, but they sanctioned this relationship to provide her with an ostensible husband. So she's got a husband who will protect her. So, but because of that, they also said that he could take away her money from the parents' family. And if she dies, now all the things that she owns go to the husband and doesn't go back to all of her brothers. How does that happen? What kind of question is that? It's after Bezdin. After Bezdin, yeah, after. I mean, that has nothing to do with it. They're not being Eker to Rabbanan. The Rabbanan are being Eker to Yeraisa. They're simply saying the rights to your money, in the same way that the courts can come and fine you and take away your money, the courts over here can define what money is yours or where the money goes. And that's called we could be mafka your things. How do we know that the court has a kayak to do that? The Amr of Yitzchak, Minayin, Shefker, based in Ayah, Efker, Shinemar, Kola, Shalayavo, the Shloshet Ayamim, Batsat, Asrim, Eskenim, Yochoram, Kol, Rechushot. We see in a minute, according to the time of Ezra, whoever doesn't show up to the big meeting that we're calling to deal with the problems that we have, we are wiping him out financially, taking everything he owns. Would he have a kayak to do that? So obviously, you see from here that the Bezdin has a kayak to do that. Rabbi Elazar says, you don't have to go to there. You could take a look at Yerushas Eretz Yisrael. It says, Ela ha-nachalot ha-shenichlu Elazar ha-kohen v'yoshua b'nun. Now, that's fine. But what's this? V'roshei ha-avot? Roshei ha-avot, what? Roshei ha-avot matot b'nei Yisrael. But they give the nachal. I understand it was the girl that they did. I mean, what's the roshei ha-matot have to do with it? Ma'in roshim etzel avot. Why are we calling it Roshei Ha'avot? You want to tell me that they made a bezdin with the matot? It's the same in the siya matot. And you're telling me avot. Lomar lecha ma avot manchilim b'neihem kol ma sheyirtzu af roshim manchilim b'neihem kol ma sheyirtzu. The point over here is that in the same way that a father splits up his property if he wants to give a nachla in his lifetime, so they can do the same thing. It's not theirs. You see from here that being part of the bezdin gives them the din of avos. Okay, fine. Hefker Bezdin, you got out of that one. How about the part about being metamela? What are you going to do about that? How can you be metamela? But still the same thing, metamela, she's a ketana, there was really no kedushin, it's only mini rabbonim, and even without misha tamon apirka, komata, doesn't make any nafkamina. What do you mean? Mini rabbonim, he has a right to go ahead and to be metameter. Over here, also, midiraisa via metamela. The one who's supposed to be metama is the korov. The korov is the father. The rabbanon are saying, no, the baal is metama. How can the baal be metama? That's different. It's because they gave her a bit of a meznitz. Because they said once already her life is now involved with this ostensible husband, who's going to take care of her? He's the guy that takes care of her. So he has to deal with the funeral arrangements. So that's like every meznitz going. Finds a base mitzvah, So then he's, of course, Matane. He says, well, what kind of base mitzvah? Come off it. I mean, that's a joke. The Abi base mitzvah. I mean, the Braisa defines a mes mitzvah, an ezra mes mitzvah, kol she'in lo kovrim. A person who is found in the middle of nowhere, there's no one who is going to come to be kovrim. And in a case where, if a guy screams, hey, help me bury this guy, I found a body, and other people will come, v'cherem onimoto, ezra make mitzvah. What are you telling me? Let's give her a dinner of a mes mitzvah. Because, after all, no one in the world is going to understand. Call the Chevra Kadisha. What are you telling me? Call the Chevra Kadisha. You're a Kohen. You're not really going to tell me, but there's nobody that you can get to bury her. What an absurdity to call this a Meis Mitzvah. Yeah, but the Rabbanan said like this. Ochanami, Kibedolo, the Arati Law. Since the father's family is not going to inherit her, so we're going to say, listen, your daughter died. You got to take care of the arrangements. Say, what daughter? You took all of her money. She ain't my daughter. She's your wife. You go take care of her. So they gave her a din of Meis Mitzvah. So Tosha says, I mean, but that's crazy. But Lamais Yirving Oiker Dovah Menatara again. And here again the read comes up, the same beautiful story that I said yesterday. I said, this is the same thing I told you yesterday. I told you that the question of Oiker Dovah Menatara means only where the Torah gave absolute guidelines. Where something looks like it's similar, and the Torah has it strictly defined, that that's not called Oiker. So in other words, the fact that this is makes so much sense, that in order to assure the tipul, the correct tipul in her funeral, that we have to allow the husband to take care of that, and that this is korach to the concept of the meis mitzvah, that much we have a right to do without it being called eker dover min haTorah. Because the Torah gave the guideline in which a kohen can be metami to anybody. It calls that guideline meis mitzvah. It says clearly in the Torah, it's this or that, but it doesn't say. So over there, where the Rabbanan said, look, of course, with your eyes, the getter of a Meis Mitzvah is very strict. But this is also similar to Meis, where it's similar, it's not called Akira. Akira is the pshat that I'm going and I'm saying what the Torah said shouldn't be kept. It doesn't mean that every time the Rabbanan say something, and Lamaisa under other circumstances, we would view that as an Isser, that that's called lack of Dover Menatera. So something which is Domeh, is his Lashon, but Dover had Domeh, makes sense, and it's similar to a given idea, such as we had yesterday. This is similar to Avis. It's not really Avis. It's not an answer. Similar, it makes sense, we should rely on it. That's not called Akira's Dover Menatera. Therefore, says Rabbi the Reb Chisda, look, don't bring me a raya from a case where it makes a great deal of sense and it's similar. But what are you going to bring? What are you going to tell me? They take a bucket that's Truma, and they say, no, it's Chul. Go explain that to me. Straight out violation of what it says in the Torah. Where do you find a case like that? Okay. We'll see. I mean, the other case. Well, let's just read that one line. He says, wait a minute, where's the case? It says, Volchelet Begino Truma. It's the fish of the Braisa. This woman is married, Minerabana, and she's eating Truma. And Truma is an Isser for a Zara. And she's a Zara. And you're saying she's married to the guy because Minerabana, she's married to the guy. It's all very nice that she's married to the guy, but how can she eat truma to which she's a zara? Answers the Gemara, Inachinam, really think she can really eat truma. She can eat only truma in the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan viewed her as being married in a matzah where there's only truma in the Rabbanan. But Inachinam, if it was truma the Arisa, we never would have been matir. That's exactly what I'm saying, says Rabbi. We never are matir truma, and over here we would certainly never be matir.